are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome back to the Locked On Bucs podcast. I'm James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at BucsNation.com and make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucs, at Jarko underscore Bucs, at DH82 underscore Bucs, and at Bucs underscore Nation. David, it is a big, big day for Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans.
Woo-woo!
That's the kind of excitement that we bring you here on the Locked On Bucs podcast. Of course, today, at some point today, no time has been released, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be unveiling their new uniforms for the 2020 season and beyond. So you go back a little bit and you remember hiring Lovie Smith, and with Lovie Smith came the uniform change back in 2014. And the response to that was not good. In fact, it's been a topic of discussion. It's been a topic of vitriol, I guess, of Buccaneers fans. You have the digital alarm clock numbers that, you know, a lot of people hated. There was a lot going on with these jerseys. They grew on some people, not so much on others, but from all of the rumors that we've heard, from all of the concept art based off of descriptions from people who have seen them, it sounds like they're going back to those, you know, 1996 to 2013 Super Bowl era style uniforms, very generic block numbers, the red and the white jerseys. And the rumor is, David, that the color rush is going to be pewter, which would be outstanding.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the new threads, you know, just as much as everybody else is, I guess. I don't know. I'm sure actually there's actually quite a few people out there who are more excited about it than I am. But I don't, you know, it's not that I'm not excited. You know, new uniforms, new logos always bring kind of a little bit of excitement. It's a refreshing of, you know, of the team that you're following or covering or whatever. So it's always fun and you know, exciting, I guess, to get those things. Obviously, you would rather have something. I think, like, Tennessee Titans fans, I think we're pretty happy with the adjustments that the Titans made to their uniforms in 2019, whereas, like, Rams fans apparently don't seem all that happy, and can't say I blame them. For the Buccaneers uniform, you know, I mean, I don't know, man. I've always kind of been in the mindset of you don't move forward by moving backwards, you know. And I know that we've seen some social media stuff, like when the mock-ups came out from what was that website?
I don't remember the website, but it was the Twitter account at UniWatch.
Yeah, so when UniWatch, you know, supposedly they got like pictures of the uniforms, they got to see. I don't know, I can't remember all the details, but apparently they got to see something that kind of gave away the uniform, and they're like, you know, we couldn't take pictures, but here's our mock-up based off of what we know, and it pretty much looks like the uniform the Buccaneers wore when they won the Super Bowl, except for the current updated helmet. You know, we saw some social media reactions like, really? Like, that's what you came up with? Well, on one hand, a lot of Buccaneers fans have been saying, why did you ever just change the uniform to what it is now? You should just stay with what it was before. But now that potentially they're going back to it, a lot of Buccaneers fans are kind of mad that they're going back to it. I am of the mindset that you don't move forward by moving backwards, but I also don't really hate the current uniform. I really wasn't ever a hater of it. I mean, I see why people don't like it. And, you know, I mean, it's been five seasons wearing that uniform. So for the Buccaneers to change it up is fine by me. I'm not going to care either way, but I don't, like, to me, again, like, going back to an updated version of their previous uniform, to me, just like, I don't know, from a creative standpoint, move forward, like, come up with something new. It doesn't have to be a completely new logo color scheme even, but, you know, like the Patriots, red, white, and blue have been their colors, you know, as long as I've known. But when they came out with, you know, the swooshy Patriot logo thing, you know, it was a new logo, and then ever since then, they've just kind of been refining that design, and, you know, it's gotten sharper here, and some things have disappeared, and then some new things have come in, but it's been progressing forward. They've never really just gone back to another version. I don't know. So just my mentality, it's like, why go backwards, go forwards, you know? I will admit that I like the Super Bowl era uniform better than this current uniform with the updated logo, because obviously this logo is a lot cleaner. Now, I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed if there's no orange in it. And I honestly am kind of getting the gut feeling that there's not going to be any orange in the uniform.
Yeah, that's the current rumor. And of course, you know, rumors are exactly that. Nothing's official until it's official. But I think if they do leave out, you know, kind of any kind of orange accent, I think it's disappointing. Now, one of the concept art pieces that we saw, you know, it showed the red home jerseys. It showed the white away jerseys. It didn't show the pewter jerseys, the alleged pewter jerseys. What if these pewter jerseys had orange accents around the numbers? So you're still incorporating the orange. And of course, with the helmet rule changing, that means the Bucks can go back to the creamsicle throwbacks in 2021. I do hope there is a little bit of orange in there. Yes, I understand technically the helmet has a creamsicle football and the pirate ship flag has the creamsicle football on the skull and cross swords. But you all know what I mean. You know, back in those Super Bowl era uniforms, you had the number piping with the orange. Obviously, on this new one, you have, you know, right under the shoulders where it goes from pewter to red, you got that orange stripe right there. The numbers have the orange on it. If it doesn't happen, I'm not going to be heartbroken. And David, I understand your point. You can't move forward by moving backward. Maybe this isn't really moving backward, though. Maybe this is the updated, more sleek looking, you know, version of these uniforms that they should have gone with in the first place.
You know, actually, now that you talk about, like, the Buffalo Bills kind of did something similar when they brought back the white helmet. You know, it was kind of a throwback to their old days, but with the more modern look, with the more modern logo. So yeah, I mean, that's a valid point. I am very curious though to see what the color rush is going to be, because if it is all pewter, I'm curious to see as how they execute that, because pewter is an interesting color, man.
It is.
And it can be done really well and it can be done really bad. So I'm curious. I'm definitely curious to see. I'm looking forward to listening to yours and Bailey's reactions on our Wednesday episode. And I'm looking forward to giving my reaction and our listeners' reactions on the Thursday episode.
You are listening to the Locked On Bucks podcast. We are we just finished discussing the Buccaneers' new uniforms being unveiled today. And now it's time to talk about the man who will be the poster child for said uniforms, Tom Brady, in the Players Tribune. Tom Brady wrote out a very lengthy piece in the Players Tribune. I do recommend you all go check it out. But if you haven't, I'm not going to, you know, summarize the entire thing. What I am going to do is I'm going to talk about the portion of it that involves the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which I will, you know, spoiler alert, it's not much. A lot of this is about thanking everybody involved in his time in New England, thanking the fans, talking about how his life was impacted moving from California all the way across the country to Boston, not knowing where anything was, not knowing anybody there, you know, not, you know, for the first time in his life experiencing four seasons in one place in one year, you know, all the new things to him. Interestingly enough, before I get into the Buccaneer stuff, he mentions how much he loves his teammates. He mentioned how much he loved the people within the organization. He mentions Robert Kraft by name. Never once does he mention Bill Belichick. Not one time. Just saying. Here's what Tom Brady had to say about the Buccaneers and his decision to continue his career after two decades in New England down in Tampa. Brady says, quote, "Playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is a change, a challenge, an opportunity to lead and collaborate, and also to be seen and heard. And I know my time there will be as amazing in its own way as what came before. It will be different. That goes with the territory. Different coaches, different players, different programs. Right now, I have no idea how to get to Raymond James Stadium or where the meeting rooms are or where everybody sits. It will be a learning curve. In the same way it was remembering that the Atlantic Ocean is always due east. Earlier, he had talked about how it was impossible to get lost in California because the ocean was always due west. So he had to flip his sense of direction in a way to get used to being on the East Coast. Brady continues, still, I'm excited. Most of all, I'm motivated. I want to deliver for my new team, my new coaches, and my new teammates. I don't want to let anyone down. I'm going to give it everything I've got. The welcome and warmth I've gotten from the players and coaches in Tampa Bay has been so gratifying. For my part, I've loved getting to know a new group of young players. They've welcomed me as one of their own. They want to listen to what I have to say. I'm excited to be embraced fully for what I can bring to the Bucks. In turn, I'm ready to embrace fully a team that is confident in what I do and what I bring and is willing to go on this ride with me. Here's another thing. Here's another great thing that happens as you get older. You want to see other players succeed. A lot of veteran players were mentors to me during my years as a Patriot. They were there for me when I signed a second contract. They were there for Super Bowl wins and when I got married. They saw me develop and grow and eventually start a family. Along with the opportunity to win championships, the support of older teammates is an amazing part of playing for a team. Doing whatever I can to help younger players evolve as people and players matters a lot to me. I've learned so much during my 20 years in New England, and I want to bring those to a new team. Right now, though, I have things to prove to myself. The only way is through. If I don't go for it, I'll never know what I could have accomplished. Wanting to do something is different from actually doing it. If I stood at the bottom of a mountain and told myself I could scale the highest peak, but then didn't do anything about it, what's the point? I'm trying to do things that have never been done in my sport. That's actually fun for me too, because I know I can do them. When a team gives you the opportunity to do those things with them, well, if not with them, then who?
We talked a lot, you know, building up to this whole thing, we talked a lot, James, about like motivations and things that drive people and who we think Tom Brady is. And again, I always go back to, you know, this is a kid from California who went to, you know, Michigan to play football for the Wolverines, one of the most storied programs in college football history. And, you know, as a high schooler, he probably had some ideas of how things were going to go, and they didn't necessarily go that way all the time. You know, I mean, his story is chronicled. You know, he had some tough times at Michigan, and then going into the NFL draft. I mean, again, you know, these guys, they start playing this game for the love of the game. Everybody who starts playing a sport does it because they just love the game itself, not because of the endorsements and all that. All that comes later. And you have to think, like, sitting there waiting to the sixth round to get drafted by the New England Patriots, not only do those thoughts, you know, of and those emotions of, am I even going to get drafted? Am I even going to make it to the NFL to even have a shot at making this thing a career? But then you look, the San Francisco 49ers, the team that he grew up a fan of, you know, with Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, all that stuff, they draft two quarterbacks in 2000. Obviously, neither of them are him. I mean, one of them was in the seventh round, so he was already gone anyway. But they draft a quarterback in the third or fourth round who never even sees the field. You know, meanwhile, he's waiting and waiting and waiting. They have Jeff Garcia. I mean, who knows? Like, we could have seen Tom Brady and his, you know, his first NFL pass could have theoretically been completed to Jerry Rice if his hometown team takes a shot on him. But they don't. New England does. You know, Drew Bledsoe's injury happens. You know, I mean, his story is one that's not supposed to happen. And when you have a story that you've already built that was never supposed to be, it's kind of easier, I think, honestly, to go out and do some things that you're not supposed to do. And I mean, honestly, I can draw some parallels in my life experience to what Tom is doing. Obviously, I'm not a world famous Super Bowl champion, but my own profession and my own adult life from 17 years old, where I was to where I ended up and where I'm at now and where I'm moving to, you know, there's a lot of things that people going back looking at my history would say, well, that's never anything I would have predicted that this person probably would have achieved or have done. Yet here we are at the end of it. And like he said there, we've talked about it again, age. This isn't a scary, like a lot of people were wondering about Tom Brady's legacy and what this is potentially going to do to his legacy if it fails. And Tom is like, honestly, it's almost like you're too old for this kind of stuff. Like, I'm not in my 40s, but I'm almost too old for it. Like, if I move forward and I take a risk on, you know, a future career, and it doesn't pan out the way that maybe I wanted to or that I kind of envisioned it doing it, it doesn't take away everything that I've personally already done in my first career. Tom's in the same boat. Like, everything he's done with the Patriots is locked down, sealed, and put away, ready for enshrinement. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's done. That envelope has been mailed. What happens with the Buccaneers is either going to be an added chapter to the legend of Tom Brady, or a footnote to end the tale that most people don't really talk about. And then we talk about, we look at Joe Namath, you look at Joe Montana, you look at a lot of these other guys. That's what happens with them. Like, there's no fear here. There's just, again, the determination and the knowledge that he can do what everybody is saying that he can't do, because he's already done it. Like, he's already proven to the world, to himself, to his family, to whoever needs proof to, that he can do this. You kind of bring up the idea that, you know, there's somebody left out of his writing. And I don't know, like, to me, I kind of, again, kind of putting myself in another human being's shoes. If I'm kind of writing this thing about moving into my next chapter that people don't think I can do, who am I going to leave out? I'm probably going to leave out the people or the person who feels like my previous success was more a result of their influence than my ability as a shared endeavor. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened, but I mean, I don't know. A lot of times in media, in any type of media, whether, you know, you're talking about written, audio, visual, whatever, what you don't say a lot of times speaks volumes compared to what you do say. And to me, that is a little bit of an interesting note. But I like what Tom had to say. I think I kind of have, you know, a good grip on where he's coming from. I'm looking forward to seeing how it turns out.
Yeah, and I should say, to be fair, he did mention Belichick's name one time, but it was to say that when you are with the 199th pick, it's not Bill Belichick that's calling you on the phone to tell you. It was a front office assistant calling and saying, hey, you've been drafted. So technically, he did mention Belichick's name, yeah, just not in the way that many people probably would have expected him to. What he had to say got me, you know, it got me excited. It shows how thankful he was. And you can go on Twitter and see how many Patriots fans are still, you know, just shell-shocked and upset about Tom Brady leaving. But just the way he approached the entire thing is very much the Tom Brady we've kind of come to know over the past couple of weeks, the kind of guy that he is. He was, you know, he goes out of his way to talk about how meaningful his relationships were with his teammates and how he was mentored as a young guy and how much he's looking forward to doing that with his new teammates in a new place in Tampa. And, you know, the biggest takeaway is something that we already knew, and that's that he's motivated and he's driven to prove that he can still do this, and he can still do this at the highest level. And he wants to do it with the Buccaneers. So it was a really great, great article. Again, I recommend you go back and you check out the whole thing.
Tuesday on the Locked On Bucs podcast. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the new Buccaneers uniforms or enjoying your time waiting for the unveiling of the new Buccaneers uniforms. And of course, preparing to receive your pre-ordered Tom Brady jersey, which is basically what we've been talking about today. The uniforms, Tom Brady, what he wrote there for the Athletic, or the Players Tribune, rather. And then speaking of new quarterbacks, new uniforms, James, you've been working on a new project to kind of help sort out the new Buccaneers quarterback. And yeah, tell the listeners what you've got going on, because I'm pretty excited for it.
So I got the idea to basically sit down and watch as much Tom Brady as I possibly could and put together a list of Brady's top 10 games. The original idea was, you know, his 10 best games ever. That was adjusted because NFL Game Pass only goes back as far as 2009. So had to call a Brady-like audible, point to my helmet, scream some things. And so it will be his top 10 games basically since 2009. And as I take a quick look at my list here, I do have one game that is in 2009. Otherwise, it's basically his top 10 of the last decade. But there was one game in 2009 that I just absolutely could not leave out. But here's my conundrum. After watching enough Tom Brady games to drive my wife absolutely insane, I mean, we're talking hours upon hours of watching Patriots games. David, you and I were talking when we recorded yesterday, and we decided, you know what? The Locked On Bucs listeners need to get involved in this. Not only the Locked On Bucs listeners, but the Bucs Nation readers. So as I count down this top 10 of Brady's best games since 2009, I have basically three games in consideration for the number 10 spot. My 1 through 9 is locked up. It's locked and loaded and ready to go. But the very first game that I review will be his 10th game in now our opinion. And that'll drop on Thursday. It's going to be a throwback Thursday Tom Brady series over the course of the next 10 weeks where I count down Brady's top 10 games since 2009.
Yeah, so there's going to be two locations where you guys, the listeners, the fans of the team, can go ahead and vote for which of these three options should be the final game. And the first place is going to be on Twitter. There will be a Twitter poll on the Locked On Bucks account. It'll be pinned to the Locked On Bucks Twitter. So if you go to at Locked On Bucks, you'll be able to do that. We'll run it till, I don't know, probably what, 12 noon Eastern, 1 o'clock Eastern, Wednesday afternoon. So you'll get a little bit more than 24 hours to get your vote in if you want to. It gives you some time to, if you are, you know, quarantined, sitting at home, teleworking, whatever it is, or you just have some time on your hands, you want to go back and look up some game recaps, you'll have time to do so before you drop your vote. And, James, I'm going to go ahead and do a post for this, kind of like a pre-post for your series coming up on BucksNation.com that's going to kind of detail these three games and what they bring to the table, what Brady brought to the table in each of these games. And then there will be a poll at the end there. So there's actually two places you can vote. And then, like I said, noon Eastern, 1 o'clock Eastern, probably close it down and we'll tally up all the numbers. And whichever game got the largest percentage of votes combined will be the one that ends up number 10 on James's list.
All right. And those games, we're going to go in chronological order. We have a game from week 9 of the 2014 NFL season. It was the New England Patriots and the Denver Broncos, Brady versus Manning. You know, not really ever in question. The Patriots were down 7-3 after the first quarter, and then the floodgates opened. The next two are postseason games. We have the 2016 AFC Championship game played in January of 2017, you know, Patriots versus Steelers matchup. Again, never really in doubt. You know, the Steelers had a really, really good defense in the 2016 season, but Brady finishes with 384 yards and 3 touchdowns. Finally, the 2017 AFC Championship game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. A lot of people remember this one. The Jaguars were up 20-10 in the fourth quarter. They had a 93% win probability with about 10 minutes left in the game. And against one of the best defenses we've seen in the past few years, Tom Brady throws 2 touchdown passes within a 6-minute span to take a 24-20 lead and send the Patriots to the Super Bowl. Those are the three games that I have in consideration for the number 10 spot for Brady's top 10 since 2009.
Yeah, three solid options for all of our listeners to go and vote for. It's going to be a tough one. I mean, but I got to tell you, I lean to the 2017 AFC Championship game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and this is not without influence from James. We were talking before the show because from my memory, my recollection of watching that game, that's more of a game I look back on and say, man, Blake Bortles just completely bottomed out. And he did, 5-for-12 in the fourth quarter passing there. I mean, James, this is kind of where your influence came in because we were kind of going through it, and this is still a quarterback in Tom Brady. This is still an offense in the New England Patriots who scored a full touchdown more than the Jaguars averaged all during the regular season, giving up to opposing offenses. Tom Brady threw for nearly 300 yards, 10 yards shy of 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, all while only getting 14 carries from his offense. Deion Lewis led the Patriots in rushing with 9 carries for 34 yards. This is the game out of these options where you can look at it and say, when you have a quarterback like Tom Brady on your team, you're never out of it. You are never out of it. Down 2 scores to the number 2 defense in the NFL that season, you're not out of it.
Yeah, and it's, you know, not every game on this list is going to be a comeback, and that wasn't exactly my criteria. I went in there I wanted to walk away from some of these games and just be impressed with what I saw out of Tom Brady. There's a couple of games in here where he's off to some slow starts and really revs it up. There are some games in here where he's just fire beginning to end. You know, here's a little bit of a tease or maybe a little bit of a spoiler. I have a game on this top 10 where Brady was pulled from the game after the first drive of the second half. and it's still one of his top 10 best performances. Real quick, David, before we get out of here, we do have an update. As we were recording, the Buccaneers have announced that the jersey unveiling will occur at 1 o'clock Eastern time today. So 1 o'clock Eastern, an unveiling of the Buccaneers' new uniforms. And a little birdie told me that Fanatics will have the new jerseys for sale at 1 o'clock as well. So there you have it. We are going to get out of here. Please, when you see these new uniforms, give us a call. Help David out on his solo episode on Thursday by giving your opinions and your reactions to the jersey unveiling by calling 813-444-5841. Check out everything going on over at BucksNation.com. Make sure you follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, at DH82_Bucks, and at Bucks_Nation. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, and we thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.